Jesus was speaking to the crowds. His mother and his brothers appeared outside, wishing to speak with him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside asking to speak with you." But he said in reply to the one who told him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother, my sister, my mother." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we come to the end of the 12th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, as well as the end of our biennial three-day reflection on the prophet Micah. And both essentially make the same point. But in order to grasp it, we have to understand context, which is one of the reasons why it's important for consistency in the liturgy of the word. Because if we keep going back and forth and just take pieces outside of their context, we'll miss much of what Jesus was trying to convey. Jesus, throughout this 12th chapter, as Matthew gives it to us, is reinforcing the point we heard on Friday when we began this chapter, that he has come for mercy, not for the notion of sacrifice that the scribes and the Pharisees had. This mercy that he showed, for example, on the Sabbath when his apostles were hungry and allowing them to pick and winnow and thresh and eat, according to the book of Deuteronomy, the heads of grain that were available there for him, despite the protestations. St. Jesus went into the synagogue immediately thereafter and told this man with the withered hand who could no longer work to stretch it out and be restored. Because Jesus was clearly communicating that mercy is not forbidden on the day we call the day of the Lord. Later, he would meet that blind, mute, possessed man and exorcise him, despite the fact that the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to accuse him of doing so by the power of the prince of devils. And in the middle of it, Jesus is talking about being good trees that bear good fruit. He's talking about our seeing that sign of Jonah, that great sign of conversion, and entering into his 3 days in the belly of the earth, entering into his passion, death, and resurrection, because that's what conversion really means, a death and a resurrection, a totally new life. But all of it is framed in mercy. That's why when we get to the bolded exclamation point of this chapter in today's gospel, Jesus takes advantage of the question in order to emphasize how our response to God has to be one of obedient faith. And precisely, if we're going to follow the Lord with faithful obedience, how we, like him, must receive, desire, and share his merciful love. So they say to him, obviously because there was such a crowd in the house, "Your mother and your brothers, your cousins," there's no distinction between brother and cousins in Aramaic or Hebrew, "are standing outside asking to speak to you." But Jesus, honoring the fourth commandment, could have easily left and gone to see them. He probably did right after the scene in a way that St. Matthew has described. But he took advantage of that opportunity to stress, in contrast to the ways that the scribes and the Pharisees were trying to relate to God, what it means to be a true member of his family. Jesus in St. John's Gospel will have these long contestations with the scribes and the Pharisees, precisely over what it means to be faithful. And one of Jesus' whole lines of thought there were, it's not enough just to be a physical descendant of Abraham. we have to have faith like Abraham. And in the same way, Jesus is going to stress elsewhere in St. Luke's Gospel that it's not enough for his mother merely to have a physical relationship with him, to have the womb that bore him and the breast that nursed him. There was something far more important, that to please God, to be a true member of his family, involves always obedient faith. So Jesus, looking at his disciples, not just the crowd, his disciples, those who are already following him out of obedience, those who are hanging on his word, seeking to do it, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my heavenly Father is my brother, my sister, my mother." That, of course, wasn't dissing his mother. That was praising his mother, whose whole word in response to God's word was, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it happen to me according to your word." She was one who did the will of Jesus' Father in heaven. And Jesus was proposing her as a model of that familiarity. St. Ambrose, as we've talked about before, has this beautiful image that even though Jesus has just one mother according to the flesh, we're all supposed to be as spiritual mothers, conceiving within through the ear the Word of God, letting that Word grow in us and become so big that we can't hold him in any longer. We must give him to the light. We must evangelize. We must share him with others. And the essence of all of this is God's desire for mercy. That he's come into the world as mercy to forgive us. He wants to transform us as we receive that gift so that we can become merciful as our Heavenly Father is merciful and love as we have been loved. This message of mercy is very prominent throughout the book of the prophet Micah. Micah gave a forceful message of conversion to the Jews in Judah, but many of them resisted. They again were proud of their history and their connection, but they didn't realize it had to be a living bond through obedient faith. So he was helping them to see that they were not worshiping God aright, and that they were not keeping the commandments aright toward their neighbor. And God mercifully was giving them another shot, and not to blow it. They would blow it. But Micah, as all of these pre-exilic prophets did, he not only gave them the prophecy of castigation or condemnation, but also he would always finish with a thing of hope, so that when they were pondering what they blew, weeping by the waters of Babylon, they would see the seeds of their return. And so, that's what today we finish with. Micah turns to God and says, so that they'd eventually be able to appreciate it, "Who is there like you, the God who removes guilt and pardons sin for the remnant of his inheritance, who doesn't persist in anger forever, but delights in mercy, who will again have compassion on us, treading underfoot our guilt, who will cast into the depths of the sea all our sins?" God would forgive even in the exile. And that would be the last message of Micah. Micah's message was not fundamentally about the sins he was seeing, but about God's mercy that we had to open up to receive because we needed it. And we would see those words bear fruit in the responsorial psalm written during the exile, in which there's a faithful echo of what God had said to them through the prophet. "You've forgiven the guilt of your people. You've covered all their sins. You've withdrawn all your wrath. You've revoked your burning anger." And it made that responsorial psalm from the last two verses. "Show us, O Lord, your mercy, and grant us your salvation." And God would hear that prayer. And in fulfillment of the prophecy of Micah, that from Bethlehem would come someone who would be Savior, God sent his mercy in the flesh. The church celebrates today the feast of St. Lawrence of Brindisi, the great Capuchin doctor of the church. And he was one who grasped this message first of obedient faith and then of mercy. From the time he was a six-year-old boy, he liked to regale his family members with homilies about the incarnation and how it was all about mercy mild. And that, again, was a foretelling of what he would do once he became a Capuchin. Lawrence was probably one of the smartest men in the history of the church. He knew all the modern languages, and he knew and learned all the ancient languages so that he could get to know sacred scripture. And so he graduated with every doctorate knowable by the time he was 21. And they immediately started to use him not to teach so much in universities, even though that would have been fit, but there was a more important work, and they weren't going to waste his talents. They sent him out to preach. He began by preaching typical diocesan-wide and parish missions, which are all about bringing people back to God's mercy. He was so effective there that they sent him up to Germany to be able to try to bring back the Lutherans who had cut themselves off from the sacraments of mercy. And from there, Pope Paul V sent him to preach the fulfillment of this desire for mercy to the Jews in the ghettos in Rome and elsewhere. He was constantly preaching the power of God's merciful love, and how we're summoned in the present to recognize our need for it, to come to get it in the way God established, and then to let it be the leitmotif of our life. But if you read this morning his lesson in the breviary, you see how that all comes from his approach to the Word of God. He said lots of things about the various parables, especially the parable of the sower and the seed. But he finishes with the point from James 1:21, to humbly receive the word of God within with its power to save. And I know all of you know exactly what verse follows. Therefore, be doers of the word, not just listeners of it, deceiving yourselves. But St. Lawrence always recognized that the Word of God was a word to be done. And he tried to make spiritual siblings, those who would hear the Word of God and act on it, those who would do the will of the Father in heaven. And at the beginning of Mass today, that's precisely the grace that we ask for, that through the intercession of St. Lawrence, we might know what must be done and bring it to completion. The end of this meditation on Micah and the 12th chapter of St. Matthew. We know what must be done. God desires mercy. St. Lawrence wants to help us to receive it, to live it, and to preach it. And the great school of mercy God gives us each day is Mass, where we hear his words to be done, and then act on his words to do this in his memory. This is where the Lord shows us his mercy and grants us his salvation, so that we can become his instruments of mercy and salvation.